Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
This week on The Bachelor, it's a 3-hour Bachelor finale for the ages. Who will Matt pick? Then Matt decides to keep things chill by not proposing. Will Chris Harrison still get his bonus? Plus, it's an after the final rose you won't want to miss. All that and more. It's the most dramatic finale ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm Jared Freed.
And we will finally have peace after this episode. We are done with this season, which it felt like
finally have peace. It's such a strong way to put it, but yes.
I mean, at least we think we'll have peace. But before we get started, make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. We also have a newsletter that comes out every week called The Bachelor Breakdown, which Dana writes. She's awesome, and she will keep you up to date on everything that's going on in Bachelor Nation, from the drama to the TikToks to everything that Jared and Chris and I talk about on the podcast. Give us a little synopsis. So make sure you're subscribing to that at betches.co/bachelor breakdown. Jared, you know what? I want you to put this at the beginning, but tell people to share it on their story. You're very good at this.
Oh, just I think it's a good way to share it. People get afraid of like telling a friend. And I think when you make it an Instagram story, you take a screenshot of you listening, put it on your stories. It's like a non-invasive way to let people know that you're listening. Tag us. We'll send you a heart. But, you know, stories are one of those things where everyone's looking and we don't think that people look as much as us, but people look, and that's how people get into the show. And you may think that it doesn't matter for you to post, but it does. It means a lot to us. So make it your Instagram story. Get people involved. Everyone has 200 friends, and one of your friends might go, hey, maybe I want to listen to a recap of the show as well and here have a fun time with it. So make it your Instagram story.
We also just got a new logo, and yeah, we're looking pretty good.
So it's a good look for us.
Oh, we're looking great, baby.
We're looking great.
We're looking brie hot these days.
That's right. Got that green dress on.
With that green dress,
and
never
guys,
forget.
Make sure you check out the new website. Betches.com is also completely rebooted and stunning, gorgeous. Check it out. Kay, you're still on the homepage.
I'm still on the home. Actually, I just looked and I did see that.
You are still on the homepage. So guys, go support, check out a picture of Kay and so many other amazing things on Betches.com.
Okay, so let's dive right into it. So finally, we get to a 3-hour finale for the ages. Matt's mom plants some early seeds of doubts. Michelle, she finds out why you don't get a non-refundable customized clothing. And Rachel finds out what it's like to wear leather pants and have nowhere to go, which I feel like we've all kind of been there. Matt decides he really wants to keep things chill. Rachel literally cannot hide her anxiety. And Bachelor Nation welcomes not one, but two new bachelorettes. Lot to cover. I couldn't believe that the 3 hours last night felt like five because there was just so much going on. But let's name that episode. And, you know, Chris, I want you to start. It was so good. I love your title.
Oh, thank you. I said this season could have been an email per my title.
I mean, I wrote in here, I was like, I refuse to compete with Chris's title because that was so good. I was like thinking of one and that was great. But Jared, yours is really good too.
Matt is still searching for a leg to touch like his mom.
I feel
that was weird.
Jared's
right?
Is like a CNN headline.
Like a CNN
breaking news. Yeah,
yeah. That I didn't pick up on it until I saw the screenshot that I think you posted, Jared, that like went viral.
It was a caress. It wasn't, you know, like someone DM me. They're like, you shouldn't make. I'm like, I'm joking around. Obviously, I don't think he's like fucking his mom. Like, it's, you know, like it's just a way. It's like Tom Brady kissing his kid. Like, that's how. Oh, I guess that's how they do it in their family. Good for them. You know. It's
yeah. Like, right. Exactly.
Know? Yeah. Every family.
But it was
different.
A touch.
I've never done that, but you know, to each family their own, I suppose.
Like, I feel like my mom would have been like, what are you okay? What are you touching my leg for? You
know, yeah, like my mom would be like, how fucked up are you right now?
Yeah, like, yeah, that, or like, just be like, yeah, that's me. That's not the couch. Oh, and then I would have to act like, oh, that's not the couch. Oh, okay. Thought you.
Yeah, I'm not like, gonna lie. That was a little squirmy. It was a little squirmy for me. But man, she is so sweet though. Patty James, I just feel like she is the most innocent and pure mom out there.
Patty's done been through some shit is the sense that I was getting. I'm like, this
that
every
too.
Time she said love, I felt like she was putting air quotes around it. Like,
yeah, yeah, she seemed well, I mean, she even said like what was it? Love doesn't last forever or something like that.
Well, she's yeah. like, love, yeah, love is great and good, but it doesn't pay the bills, basically.
I got this quote. Love is not the end all be all. It's like, oh,
that's
okay.
What it is.
Yeah. I don't think that's Tinder's new marketing campaign.
Like, I mean, Chris even brought it up at the end, you know, and Matt's having this sort of like breakdown. He's like, yeah, I mean, your mom didn't really sell it for you. And we're like, no, she sure didn't.
Well, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like The Bachelor, like we've talked a lot about, and I talk about this like a lot, where it's like some people are watching this for Cinderella. Like they want, yeah, they mm-hmm. want the beginning, middle, and grand finale of an engagement and to take the horse-drawn carriage off into the sunset. And Matt James's mom was like, reality creeping in. She's like, yeah, no, like marriage takes more than just love. It takes, you know, practicality. And it's like, that's the stuff like nobody wants to hear. Like you don't want to hear you, like, it's like she came in to be like, yeah, weddings cost a lot of money and we have a budget, you know, like it's yeah. like no one wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
His brother too. I felt like his brother was like a FBI agent with the interview questions. He'd be like, the girl would be like, yeah, I like really like your brother, haha, and he'd be like, uh-huh, so anyway, where yeah. do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, the brother was great.
Like I was like, he is sticking to time. He is like getting through this interview without responding to their responses. I was here for it.
There was a piece of me that felt like his brother was like, I'm making sure he's in for this because he's about to be the greatest wingman in the history of wingmen. Like, yeah. like he's like, I cannot. He's like, if I'm losing him, it better be to love. I'm not losing him to not go out to some, you know, on some boys trips when this thing's in.
But I wonder with these like questions, like when they bring the parents in on either side, do you think, I mean, it feels like they're sometimes prompted with these things. Like when Matt's brother first wanted to pull her aside, he like looked around for a second. He was like, hey, do you want to chat for a second, Michelle? Like he was like, it's like, okay, now is when you ask her, she wants to chat for a
oh,
second.
Totally.
You pull her aside.
I mean, they yeah. probably, they have cameras set up already in like the places that they're going to go sit and have the conversation. Like obviously the producers, I think, are very direct.
Well,
directing.
He's almost like the best case scenario for that because he's like a, like his brother felt like a guy and he felt like he was like, oh, so you have to take this time over, takes her side. And then it's like, he's going to ask like the most direct questions because he's just like, oh, I guess I have to ask these, you know, mm-hmm. didn't it kind of feel like that? Like, as opposed to like, sometimes the sister will be like, so what do you think for your tux, and you're like, what? Okay, like,
well, okay, so Michelle and Matt's mom, everything, obviously, I knew that they would totally vibe off of each other. I feel like Michelle's the perfect person to bring to your parents, like the perfect crowd.
I was thinking
pleaser,
that too. I was
impressive.
Like, Michelle is like the ideal. What I know, my parents would gag if I brought home Michelle. They would be thrilled. But I did feel like both dates were so quick. Like, both Meet the Family dates were so fast. It was like 8 minutes.
Oh yeah, we were done with meeting. We were done with that within the first like 10 minutes of the show. And it's like, well, what's the rest of the show going to be? I was like, we still have, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes left. Like, what are you going to show us?
Their dates were so, the meeting the parents were so different in like themed ways. Like Michelle's like, was like talking about like real stuff, like family and like how they fit in together. And then you go to like Rachel's was like themed on like God. And it's like, I'm not a very religious person. And I know that like God can matter a lot, but like God usually relates to family and to like what you do as a family. And like, they never got into that. It just got into this like overarching kind of like cosmic thing.
That felt very, Dana actually texted me and she was like, Matt and John are both biblical names. And Rachel was like, all right, let me shoot my shot here. I bet this woman loves God. And I did feel like that too. Cause I was like, you haven't brought up God since the first episode, Rachel.
Yeah, because yeah. She said to his mom, she was like, you know, on our first one-on-one date, before we did anything, he prayed over us. And his mom immediately waterworks. Like, yeah. Immediately the waterworks
came out. Oh, my God.
His
mom was like, I did it right. I raised him right. He prayed over them.
Yeah, and it just like that just felt less personal. Like, Michelle's... It just was like a vibe. Like, it's like, you know, talking about like, so we're both from North Carolina, you know, like, as opposed to like, oh, the street I grew up on is a lot like Matt's that he grew up on, you know, like, mm-hmm. it just was like two very different, and you could feel it. Like, and I think that's why we all like love Michelle and feel some sort of connection to her, because you're like, oh, there's a certain sense of like getting to know her that it didn't really happen with Rachel.
Yeah, were you guys like surprised? I felt like we didn't see the family like click enough, and now we know why. Because what's the point of them clicking? I guess
yeah.
is why they edited it down so low. I don't know. I just wasn't surprised by the end after the meet the family dates, especially.
Well, I mean, the most important thing was his talk with his mom. Like, of all the things, and there was a little bit like when the mom says, love is not the end all be all. And
did
I think
you see
it gave
his eye twitch?
Oh no.
His eye literally was like me and my roommates literally all saw, we go, oh my God, his eye just twitched when she said that.
Well, I think it like gave him permission. Like, I think he was, you know, listen, we've all kind of been on the same page where it's like, we don't see the Matt getting engaged. We all kind of said it from mm-hmm. very early on. And it kind of looked like Matt was searching for talking points throughout the last couple episodes of like, okay, how do I explain to people that an engagement ain't gonna fly here? And like, well, my mom said this, and mom, you know, mom's in charge type of thing kind of like helps him out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And it was interesting to finally see Matt think about engagement, like the fact that there is an engagement at the end of this. I mean, it only took him until literally the last episode to be like, okay, so there's an engagement at the end of this. I need to probably figure this out now.
Well, I mean, when he went, it did kind of dawn on him. But when he went to Chris Harrison, I thought like, if anything showed Chris Harrison's inability to like be more than just, and you have three roses left. Like, yeah. Last night was kind of the night, because Matt was legitimately like, it was interesting because Matt, never having been on the show, he's like, okay, I don't know what to do. I know who I'll reach out to. I need someone who's been through this before. And you're like, I actually thought, I'm like, who's this going to be? Didn't you think that? Like, when he was like,
yeah,
like I was like, oh, who's coming? Who's the special guest?
Tyler C. Yeah, I was waiting.
I thought like someone who has been married 30 years was going to like walk through that door. And then it's like, it was Chris. And I'm like, Chris, he's going to, that's who you're going to, your last talk.
That is your last like, talk is like, going to be Chris.
I did feel like Chris the whole time was like, I don't get my bonus unless there's a proposal.
Well, oh, yeah. So he literally said, Matt does a monologue where he opens up to Chris, and Chris's response, he's like, so I don't know what to do. Matt's basically like, Listen, you've done 40 seasons of this. I'm sure you know who should get engaged, who shouldn't get engaged. Give me the allowance to, like, do something different. And Chris goes, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. And it's like, that's all you got?
Right. That was his only response. Like, and
I felt like Chris's eye was twitching. Like, this, if this doesn't end in a goddamn proposal, like, I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh,
I got,
yeah.
I got Neil Lane waiting outside. This guy's a big sponsor, right? Oh. It didn't feel like he had to get how am I going to bring in Neil Lane?
It also felt like Neil Lane, we're skipping ahead a bit, but Neil Lane felt like he was like, listen, I get paid either way, so do what you want. I don't give a shit. Let's get high. Like, that was the vibe I was getting from Neil Lane.
And he's like, and if you don't stay engaged for at least 3 years, I'm taking the fucking ring back.
Yeah, he's like, take it. I got paid for it already. My kids are going to college scot-free. Also, yeah. When Neil Lane was like talking about, he's like, oh, that's the diamond my mother had. I was like, what? Who the fuck knows that stuff? I'm like, if someone was like, what's your mom's engagement ring? I would be like, I have literally the slightest idea.
I think, Neil Lane came in like the ultimate salesman. If we want to like jump ahead to Neil Lane, I mean, like he basically was like that stuff a car salesman says, like, yeah, it was on my mother's. You make it personal, you know, like, oh, now you're buying a ring that has nostalgia, that is connected to, you know, an older, refined woman that he's trying to implant ideas into the person he's trying to sell to his head. And it is like, you know, Neil, the whole time you're thinking like, and then Matt's reaction to the ring, he's like, can I touch it? Like, it almost had this thing of like, Matt was like, if I touch it, do I have to get engaged? Like, it was like two people. It really felt like Matt was dealing with Neil Lane like a sample lady at Costco. Like, he just was like going through the he's like, oh,
I didn't have to commit to it.
But he had to act like he was like, he's like, oh, emerald. Very cool cut. Pear cut. Okay, cool. I'm going to think about it. Yeah, like that's pretty.
His girlfriend's in the dressing room, so he like is stuck standing there at the counter. So he has to like keep the conversation going.
I'm wondering, do we think those rings that Neil brings are just the reject rings from past seasons?
I bet there's a few returners.
A bag of old rings. He's like, I got this bag, and it just jiggles it around.
It's like Ben Higgins thought he was going to choose this one, but he decided to go with the other one instead.
This one was on Becca until Ari took it back. You know? Like, yeah.
He's like, let me tell you about this cursed ring.
Yeah. The whole thing, like, just the combo of Neil Lane and Chris Harrison giving advice, like Matt going to, it just felt like he was going to like the worst possible place for advice. Like the two people that had the most to gain out of him just pushing through to an engagement, as opposed to like his mom, who has nothing to gain. His mom has something to gain by him not making a mistake. And his mom's sitting there like,
right,
listen, if you're like, don't rush this thing. Don't feel in a rush. And then Chris is like, oh, lots to unpack. I'm going to let you decide. Neil Lane's like, well, just hold on to the ring. Just put it in your pocket. See how it feels. And you're like, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah, I felt like his mom was like, you should totally propose if it's Michelle, but you really should think about it if it's Rachel. Like, I felt like he needed somebody completely unbiased. Like, I felt like his mom doesn't believe in love, and then Chris Harrison and Neil Lane are like,
also don't believe in love, but still want him to get engaged.
In love. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious-smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is
correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BETCHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10.
Speaking of Michelle, should we get into her last sports date? Of course, they have to squeeze in another sports activity.
I'm just going to say that if I would have been taken to the top of that building and been told we're rappelling down, I would have been like, you know what? Break up with me here.
Especially because it's like, oh, we're going to that chalk-drawn heart. We need to rappel down the side of the building to get to it. I would be like, I'm good. I've been on a picnic before.
Yeah, take the stairs. I don't.
It didn't. It was like the final scene from The Hangover where they found their friend, and then listen, if you had like, isn't Michelle on that date going, I've met the family, we fucked supposedly. I have to belay myself down a building for you to be sure? Like, what could be proved? Like, belay on belay.
Right.
Climbing. So are we doing this or not? Like, what are you
not,
doing?
Like, let me know.
You feel like, and I guess like we get to this towards the end of the date when he comes to her room. But it like with Michelle, it felt like, he knows as much as we all know, like how great a choice Michelle is, but it didn't seem like he was excited about the choice, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. I agree.
I felt like he very much was like, I know I should want Michelle, but I just don't. Like, was kind of.
But Michelle represents a new phase of life. Like, I think like that's like something like a lot of. Like Rachel kind of touched on this in hers where she's like, I'm ready. Let's get started. I'm ready for the next thing. And I think a lot of women think that way with like marriage, engagement, like, let's do it. We're here. You like me. I like you. You hear it a lot with You Up podcast when people are like, I'm dating. I have friends with benefits and we're friends and we hook up. So why wouldn't we just be together? And it's like. And you could see from Matt James' side, he's sitting there and be like, yeah, be together means we now like hunker down into like life that maybe I'm not ready for.
Yeah. And I felt like he was also thinking like, I wish Serena P was still here.
Yo, what a shitty thing to think. But like, I also kind of agree. I honestly think he was going to choose Serena P, but she ended up sending herself home. And so I think that, maybe that's what, well, besides the fact that he is completely not ready to get engaged, maybe that's the fact that he didn't want to get engaged.
But I think Serena P also offers him the ending he wanted, which is, hey, we're not engaged, but we're going to hang out and have a great time together. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to travel the world on the dime of a sponsored post and for the next year and a half, and that'll be cool. And maybe we work out, maybe we don't. And Serena P kind of has that vibe to her.
I mean, I love that.
I mean, she's.
I mean, who doesn't want that? A year of sponsored post payment to go just around the country and do every awesome party fun thing in the year that they're going to call the Roaring Twenties after the vaccines are out.
Like, literally, I want to be the queen of the Roaring Twenties.
Right?
Jared, you're making a very good point. I'm like, the Roaring Twenties. I should go on tour, just be crazy.
That's right.
I should go on tour and like, just not be crazy.
Not even like a show tour, just like me going on tour by myself.
Yeah, just paint it up like you're going to Palm Springs, but you just do it everywhere. Like that's what people are going to be doing. You'll be there at some point.
I also had to include the part where Matt like did not know how to rappel down the side of the building, and then the trainer's like, no, you just got to put your feet like below your waist like a person would.
He just had them up like he was just like ass down
and then immediately and, like, turns to Michelle and he's like, oh, you got to do this and this and this.
Wrong Matt. We think like, Matt's super athletic, but he's falling off bikes, he's turning over four-wheelers, like, no.
Yeah.
So when Michelle gives Matt that jersey, though, man, that...
Two jerseys.
Two jerseys, right. I mean, she had hers, and it was just... That was heartbreaking.
It was sad. It was heartbreaking, because that's exactly what Michelle's ready for, and it's exactly what Matt is not ready for. Like, if there's any gift that he was like... That the way he touched the jersey and the ring was exactly the same. Just like, oh, can I touch it? You know,
he was
like
unwell. You could see it in his face. He was just like, oh my God.
He's like world changing warriors. Oh my God. I think I left my phone in the bathroom. I felt for Michelle in that moment, because that's like you can see the moment she gives him that. Like, her face also kind of drops, like, oh, God, maybe we're not on the same page. And then when she's like, I don't know what you're, like, telling me. Am I supposed to fight for you? That really stabbed you through the heart. And he's like, I just don't think it's gonna be us or whatever.
He was like, it felt very abrupt a little bit, because I thought, I was like, he's at least gonna keep her through the night. But,
I understand, because like I am the kind of person that when I realize something and I'm like sure of something, I'm like, I need to make this decision right now or it's just gonna like eat me alive. And I felt like the jerseys were the final moment of like, okay, this is too much, I need to.
Well, it becomes a lie at that point if he's like putting on the jersey knowing that, like, I mean, it literally says Mr. and Mrs. James on the back, like, that would be wearing a lie, you know. So I don't blame him. Like, I think the timing of it made sense.
Yeah, I hope she sells those on eBay and gets a pretty penny.
I mean, right?
She would honestly. She would probably get a lot of money for those.
Absolutely.
Someone like Depop or something.
And then we go into Rachel's date. And she's all excited, wearing some fresh leather pants to go on this date. And then Chris, who always calls her Rach, like they've been best friends for 10 years.
I know.
He's like, Rach, I have some bad news. Matt canceled the date. The way he was saying it, I felt like if I was Rachel, I'd be like, do you guys know where he is? Like, the way Chris was saying it was like, we can't find him.
I know. He was like, got some bad news. Matt's gone.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, dead? Is he dead? Like, that was the vibe. Chris Harrison was like, there's been an accident. Like, cop at the door.
It's a freak building climbing accident. He didn't know how to belay.
She was like, I thought I saw them rappelling down my window earlier.
Yeah, she was really, and you could tell how upset she was, and she was trying to keep her cool. And
I like tweeted it. Have you ever seen The Craft, the movie?
Of course.
You remember, like, I've only seen it once, but the like bad witch at the end, she gets like a look in her eye when she's about to kill the good girl or whatever. That was like, for some reason, when Chris said it, Rachel's face, I got the bad witch from The Craft.
Bad witch vibes.
Like, I was like, oh my God, she's gonna throw everyone against the wall with her eyes.
In my head, I'm like, they must know that Chris is gonna show up, or they must know that something's gonna happen. But she seemed legitimately caught off guard.
Yeah, it was, and imagine getting like Chris walks away a 2 minute, like, yeah, so it's canceled. We'll let you know. And then she like just has to sit in a room without her phone. Can you imagine not having your phone at that moment?
Oh my God.
I'd be rage texting him immediately. Yeah. So honestly, better I don't have my phone.
But goodbye. Good luck with your own thoughts. No one to text. No one to even, all that stuff. It's like, I felt for that, like, predicament. Like, at least give you a podcast to put in your ears to, like, get away from your own brain, right?
Yep. Yeah. They don't have anything. And she's just sitting there, you know, and then all you can do is think about that, because that's all you've had this in past, you know, 2 months or three months. So you don't know anything else. So that really sucks.
What does she do? Like, pop in a DVD? Like, I guess I'll watch, you know, whatever, you know, The Office a 500th time. Like, what does she even do?
I would just take a Xanax and go back to bed, I guess.
How'd you get addicted to Xanax? Well, 2 months on The Bachelor will do it to you.
District.
Not a lot to do.
Yeah, they must have like a pharmacy in the name of Colin.
Okay, so we finally get to the proposal moment where, you know, so they show Matt sends her that letter and he's like, meet me at the lake. And he gets out in a suit and I'm thinking, oh my God, is she going to wear a dress? Like, I'm wondering if it was just like a let's have a talk. And he's in his suit. And I was like, is she going to show up in like sweatpants?
It really was bizarre because you're like, if you had a canceled date and then someone was like, let's do it, you wouldn't be like, okay, I'll be there, right? Like,
no,
you would have questions. And she doesn't even get to ask those questions. It's in a, like a letter brought by a dove. And it's like, can I give another letter back to the dove being like, you know, what's happening? What are we doing?
Yeah.
I had looked up like the past finales for something on the Instagram, and almost every single finale, the girl is wearing for Bachelor and Bachelorette is wearing like a shade of white for the proposal. So when she got out in the emerald green, I was like, I wonder if this was like a strategic, like, don't put her in white because he's not proposing.
Oh,
that's interesting.
And I mean, I will have to say, I did love that dress.
Oh yeah, I mean, she looked great. Like, it matched her pretty eyes. Like, she looked outstanding. They were in the woods. The green matched the surroundings.
But she must have been freezing. I mean, it was snowing a day ago, and she's in a sleeveless dress. They're at a HOPA that looks like it's like brought to you by Home Depot. Like, it was like a very bizarre like scene. Like, it looked like one of those like outdoor like bars that a guy built during the pandemic. He's like, and then put it on TikTok, and it's like, it's like, what is this thing?
It was
like
a HOPA on an outdoor bar. I'm dead. Yeah.
I mean, where's the lie?
I guess that is what it is. And then Chris, again, he's like, hey, Rach. And then as she's going down, he like puts his icy cold paw on her bare back to like lead her. I was just like, this poor girl is having a day today.
I mean, this sets up your whole expectation of getting engaged. Like, imagine most women know that like it's happening. It's like, okay, well, not that it's happening at that moment, but they know that, yeah, we've talked about it. We're getting engaged. We've probably gone ring shopping,
something's
whatever.
Coming.
Yeah, it's going to come done. At some point. And so, right. And so, but she knows it's going to happen and when it's going to happen, but she doesn't know if it's going to happen. So imagine knowing all of those details around it, showing up and being like, is he going to propose? Like, is it happening right? And not knowing that. I feel like that would be the worst. I wouldn't want to go into any engagement like that.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fun. It doesn't seem like it's, again, you guys mentioned the anxiety. I didn't notice this. The anxiety rat.
Which was,
is that,
that was that at oh, it was that after the final rose. She like got it.
She had, okay. Like, yeah, she was breaking out into hives.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it wasn't for the engagement. The whatever that was. Yeah, none of it is fun, but I mean, that's kind of like the theme of this season. It's like, you're showing up to like the weirdest outdoor talk ever. Like, meet me by the lake. We'll see. Like, you know, this whole season's kind of been this like mental weirdness for everything.
Yeah, and I felt like the editing, they still like played the music and everything. Like, don't try to pull the shade over our eyes and make it seem like this is the same happy ending. Like, don't trick us like you're trying to trick Rachel, okay? This is a shitty ending for and her, and they still made it like this big romantic thing.
That was I think that was like the most hilarious part, is just watching her like happily look at him after him being like, so can you imagine anyone being pumped when it's like, so we're not getting engaged, but we are gonna like hang out and chill. It was like, I said, what? it wasn't even a label, really. He was just like it to me, like, you know, this whole idea of like, we're exclusive, but not in a relationship. Like, when someone's like, let's be together, and they're like, well, let's be exclusive, not in a relationship. You're like, what's the difference at this point? Like, you have to kind of like convince
literally,
yourself
what is the
into
difference?
This is, yeah. And you have to convince yourself that this was like a big moment for your like relationship, when really it's a step back.
Yeah,
it is. And like, and trying to be excited about that, like, I would not be able to hide my disappointment.
Right?
No. And she did. I feel like.
And also, you can't take steps back like that. I mean, like, Jared, you talk about, I'm sure you guys talk about this on You Up, but like, once you're engaged, you're not, you don't just like, if you're going to take a step back and you're just breaking up, you're not just being like, let's go back to being boyfriend and girlfriend. It's like, that's not how it works. It's like, if you're taking a step back, you're, it's done.
Yeah. The train tracks move in one direction or the other. There's no sideways in relationships. And this felt very sideways. I guess the only thing that helps it is like, you know, there's this like, you won the bachelor. Like, because she gets the final rose, there is something for her to like achieve, I guess. But then it's like, but no, you know, that's it. You get, here's a rose and nothing else.
Yeah. No diamond, nothing just else. A rose. I would be like, okay, how much money can I get for this rose?
Yeah.
I mean, you get the followers though.
Yeah. But
yeah, that, well, yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of like the-
me. I'm the worst fucking person.
No, I don't. But I think that has a lot to do with like the after the final rose. Like, you know, there is this sense of like, you know, we're going to talk about it, but like she comes on that and it's like, she has like, doesn't she have like the biggest following of all the people that were on the season?
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Which is like a weird conclusion after what's been going on.
Yeah. I know. Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you are a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves, and it's designed to work with your body and not against it. You won't have to worry about it rolling down thanks to the flexible boning that is hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Should we get into After the Final Rose?
Yeah, let's do it. Might as well. So this is the third hour. We've already been like emotionally taken down for the first two. And Emmanuel H.O. comes out in that suit.
In that suit that was two sizes too small.
You could see his muscle definition.
His arms staying down. He looked like the little brother in A Christmas Story when he's like trying to walk to school.
And like, keeping it buttoned was a commitment. I mean, I would have been unbuttoned the whole time. It was a lot of cleavage, male cleavage in the, with the, you know, the turtleneck and the suit that was just way open.
That button was clinging on for dear life the entire time.
I felt for him. I've been in that position. If you're a guy who's put on a suit that doesn't fit, it is the worst feeling because like, we're just not used to that. Like women put on tighter clothing all the time and have to deal with shoes. But like
also dressing up as a girl and a guy, people think a girl so much more difficult. As someone that does both, putting on a dress is a lot easier than putting on a suit or a tux. Like, I'm like, there's so many buttons involved dressing up as a boy. Like, well, I feel so fat every time I wear a suit or a tux. And I'm just good luck to...
Chris, you could like speak to this. Like, it's airier in a dress. Like, at least there's like room for air to come in. With a suit, like, you just constrict every your cuffs, your neck, your belt, your shoes, you know, like, it's all constricted.
Yes. And it's like, even if it's really hot, you have to wear a suit.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
True.
But obviously, like, dressing in a dress, a lot of people, you know, Spanx and the whole nine yards. So,
sure.
Dressing up sucks in general. Let's all just I agree on that.
But
I saw him in that turtleneck, and I was like, I know this is the look. And, you know, Chris and I, we've talked about it here, where it's like, you know, that turtleneck look, I don't know how long it can last. I don't think, you know, Emmanuel's going to be rocking it anytime again.
Yeah, they really are clinging to that turtleneck look.
But honestly, I knew that he was going to be great just because, you know, he's a natural host and everything. And I really liked him. The second he came on the screen, I honestly, like, honest to God, felt, I was like, oh, this feels natural. This feels like he's been here before. I've seen him before. Like, I've seen a show, I've seen The Bachelor with him hosting before. So I really liked that vibe that I got from him. And he was great at asking these questions. I mean, there's no way Chris Harrison, with or without this whole scandal, could have navigated this situation.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought if right from get-go, it felt like there was a leader, you know, like he knew how to lead the conversation. And honestly, ask questions that you were like, oh, wow, like, I didn't think he was going to come from that angle. Or, like, he pressed Matt on things, too. Like, he pressed everybody. Like, it wasn't, I think it made it feel like a fuller show because he could go and ask questions of everyone there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think Michelle comes out first.
Yeah.
And Michelle, it seems like Matt did Michelle dirty after those cameras turned off.
Oh, my God.
And even though she, like, pretended to be over it, she is not. She was, like, not. When they shared a laugh, and I'm using air quotes, like, he was laughing out of anxiety, and she was laughing out of the fact that he was anxious.
Like, she dragged him low-key. Like,
he deserved it. Like, the fact that she was like, I asked to speak to him for 2 minutes. The producers were watching me crying, and he refused to talk to me.
Ew. That's like actual, like, fuckboy, like, ex-boyfriend shit. Like, for real ex-boyfriend shit. Like, you'd be like, can we just talk? And he's like, you know, you ignore her or what, like, whatever. Like, that's...
Yeah, he's like, dry your tears with those jerseys and calm down.
Not with the jerseys. But she was really, you could tell how genuinely upset she was still about that. And the fact that he wouldn't even give her that closure kind of sucks. I mean, yeah, he was upset because he had to go through, he didn't want to have to break up with her. But it's at the same time, like, at least talk to her and be like, hey, here's what's going on. But apparently he didn't have that 2 minutes for her.
Well, then he kind of gives her the 2 minutes on the couch, and it kind of felt like she was like, oh, I'm not going to get the answers I need from him. Like, he just kind of like he totally diverted. He was just like complimented her to death and then was like, that's it.
He didn't answer the question at all. All he did was say, like, you're amazing, you're awesome, blah, blah, blah. All I can say is that I'm sorry. It's like, no, you can actually tell her what your thought process was.
I, like, wrote it down because Jared has been saying it, like, just like Tyler C. It's like the art of saying nothing while seeming like you're saying everything. And that was, I felt, what Matt did the entire thing with Michelle. Like, I'm like, you're not saying anything. You're just
anything,
like,
at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, the answer of you like, if he had said you're ready for a part of life that I'm not ready for, I think we all would have been like I think she would have understood that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you gave me a jersey with Mr. and Mrs. James on it, and I think and that was like, oh my God, like, I'm not ready for that. And I guess, like, again, like, to the Tyler C. thing, where it's like, that's him disappointing a large swath of this audience. Where it's like, oh, so you came on the show to not find love, huh? And it's like, no, well, that's not fair for people to do to him, but people would.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And then we move on to talking about Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And he says how they like had private, they were, I guess, together at a resort and having some kind of like a honeymoon period. Somebody was taking pictures of them in a pool.
Who was taking those pictures?
I have the slightest.
Do they just send like an intern with them? They're like, okay, so you're going to be like their friend because they can't talk to anybody else. Like, have fun.
I wondered what happens after. Like, because remember when Caitlin Bristow like got in trouble because she posted a Snapchat or something and Sean was in the background and it was like before the finale?
Yeah, they're not supposed to like see each other. I know like Dylan and Hannah G, when they got engaged like right after Paradise, they weren't allowed to like see each other, but they would have like visits, like conjugal visits. But they would have to wear like, when they would go over to each other's houses, they'd have to wear like wigs and stuff when they were outside, like disguises.
What the fuck? I would be like afraid if they're like, okay, now you guys can't see each other for 9 months. I'd be like, okay, great, so date for 5 weeks, don't see each other for 9 months. This sounds like it's gonna do really well in the
future.
Definitely
gonna work.
Well, I have to assume, wouldn't you assume, they make so much money on this show, they pay out very little. Like, this is like a cash cow type of show.
Yeah.
I would imagine from Nima Colin, they could private jet them somewhere to do like a weekend at least together to get that picture and then go, okay, we're taking you to two different places. Like, that's the only way.
Right.
That or, I could
like,
see
we're
it.
In quarantine anyway. Like, what? Just take them to the same place. Well, I don't know, whatever, because it seems like when all of the news about Rachel's past came out, they weren't together.
Yeah, they weren't like, together because it was over the phone. I think they ended up breaking up.
Yeah.
And this is when, you know, everything gets more intense, and you know, Emmanuel's asking these hard-hitting questions, and a lot of it is Matt sitting in silence, which we'll get to once like Rachel comes out.
So much silence
to the point where Emmanuel's like, it's better to just tell the truth and be honest. Like, I'm trying to like prompt him to get a response. Or like being like, wow, because he's still sitting in that silence. He's trying to like facilitate like what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. I mean, they went to commercial and they came back and were like still in silence. Like, it was like, have we just been sitting here for 20 minutes? You know, like,
I felt that way. I was like, oh my God, they must have been sitting like this through the whole commercial break.
You know, and so he was asking Matt, you know, these questions about Rachel and, you know, he said that she had to do this learning by herself. And he says that when she comes out as well, because you had to think about in his position, if they would have stayed together, not just because of like the press about it, because that's a huge part of it. Like, if he would have stayed with her and been like, you know what, we're going to get through this, it would have been a bad look for him. On top of the fact that it's already like shitty and she didn't understand his blackness is what he said. And that's very true. Like, you can't be dating somebody who's not able to at least try to relate or learn what you're going through and know your background and know the things that you have to go through. She had no idea.
I felt it was confusing. Like, I didn't really know how to feel, because I do feel like she is in love with him, or at least was last night.
Yeah, for sure.
And she was like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I felt like there is no answer. Like, they just needed to be like, it's over, that's it. Like, and she kept being, I felt like Emmanuel too was kind of trying to get Matt to be like, just also admit that you didn't like her that much. Like, because he was like, well, what about this? Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you do this to stay together? Well, if you really loved her, wouldn't you just do this? Well, if you really loved her. And I was like, Emmanuel, just let it go.
I also think he was being a little bit dramatic. Like, I mean, the stuff that he was saying, like, you might never see him again.
Oh, I know. I was like, are we all getting killed after this?
What if you don't ever speak to him again? Okay.
Well, like with Michelle, he was like, this could very well be the last time you ever see each other.
Yeah, they'll be watching Doubt each that. Other's Instagram stories for the rest of each other's
yeah,
lives. Don't
like,
worry.
I don't
yeah,
think
like,
that's the tea.
Yeah, well, I did like, you know, Emmanuel's questioning. I like that he was like, listen, if, you know, like, I did have the same vibe as you, Chris, where it was like, listen, if you love each other, then you'll work on this together. And then I, you know, Matt James saying she doesn't understand my, you know, my blackness. Like, I was like, all right, that's enough reason. Like, I think with Rachel, like, the thing about it is like, you can hate her, you can not like her, and just be like, I, you know, listen, I found out more information and I've changed my mind. Like, that's totally okay. And that could be a part of your whole attraction for her, right?
I mean, I think so, but I think because it was part of it, honestly, because it was made into this massive deal, and like, you kind of have to set an example, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say that, because one of the questions that I really was thinking about, he was talking about, you know, Rachel in 2018, you know, versus the Rachel now. Like, are you willing to know, like, realize that she's a different person than she was in 2018? But the thing is about Rachel in 2018 is that it's the same Rachel that was up until she found out what that were, until those photos resurfaced.
Yeah.
Like, that Rachel hadn't changed, because then she finally found out what that word meant. So it's not like she's a different person. She's that same person in 2018 as she was up until these photos came out. And then she was like, oh, wait, what?
I also felt like when Emmanuel was like, where, like, how did you grow up, basically? He was like, how did you not know? And I was like, you know, her parents are like backstage with scissors to her credit card. Like, I dare you to say Auschwitz.
Yeah, speak up.
Because I mean, she subtly, without being it, she's like, I could use growing up in the South as an excuse. I could use my family as an excuse. I could use the fact that it was commonplace around me growing up, but I won't use that. Like, obviously, she's gone through the ABC school of interview training.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What can I say to get my point across, but not to piss everyone off again?
Like, I felt like she definitely got some Kardashian level interview training.
Oh,
like,
you could tell right when she said the most coached up one was when he was like, have you been doing the work? And she's like, I could tell you the work I'm doing. Like, and she knew how bad that would sound if she just like rattled off the
like
books
blurting
she read.
Off
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, like she's like, I'm
and
a fan.
Like,
and
either
she,
way.
She even said podcasts and books and documentaries. And you're like, okay, so like, you knew right there that she had some coaching.
Yeah, for sure.
He yeah, had then, a really good quote. And it was, he said, history is meant to be remembered, but not all history is meant to be celebrated. And I think that was super powerful, because, you know, he's talking about the party also showing up with the receipts of the actual photos. I didn't think he was going to bring those out.
No,
that's wild.
That's the thing. Well, that's what he, you know, that's why he was such a good choice to host this. Like, he, you know, Emmanuel Acho isn't trained in The Bachelor, but he is someone, this is something he is very well versed in doing. Like, these, you know, his whole thing is uncomfortable conversations with a black man. Like, he's really good at like bringing people to the table that maybe not would be at the table talking about this. So, you know, I think that like it's like his expertise almost showed in that.
Yeah.
And then he tried to, like, he even said at the very end, maybe do you guys want to share one last embrace? There was no.
Oh my god,
no
that
embrace.
Was so awkward.
Yeah.
That was really awkward. And you could tell, I don't even think, it felt like Matt didn't even want to see her. Like, it felt like that he did not even want to see her. I feel like he is so traumatized from this season and from this past year. Like, when he was chosen to be the Bachelor, he had no idea that all of this shit was like, that Bachelor Nation was just going to blow up in front of his face.
Yeah.
Because you have, you know, all the crazy contestants, you have Rachel's thing comes out, you have Chris Harrison commenting on this, you have another host replacing Chris Harrison for this, and his engagement. He ends up not getting engaged. Plus, they end up breaking up. I mean, what a shit show.
And then he's put in the position to give answers. And
yeah,
he's made it pretty clear that he doesn't like giving answers. Yeah. You know, like it's like by how he's acted with uh-huh. the women. So again, and he's not alone. I would be in a very similar position where I'd be like, I don't know what to say at this point. Like, this is not what, you know, this is not what I signed up for, is what it kind of felt like from his position. But it was unbelievable to watch. I gotta say.
Yeah.
It was, but
it was something.
I think he must regret all of this. But
do you think he regrets coming on the show? Do you think?
Yes,
absolutely.
I mean, I would regret coming on the show because of all the shit that has happened around it. I would be like, man, fuck this! Like, what did I do?
Yeah, I felt like he was like, I signed up for Claire's season, and this is what I got.
And this
I didn't
is what
want
I got.
This. He's like, I literally came to like meet a girl, make some friends, hang out, get some Instagram followers, maybe be bachelor in a couple seasons, hit the beach, batch in paradise. Like he wanted a Tyler yeah. C trajectory, and then he got thrown into the pilot seat.
Yeah, that was yeah, it's a hot ass mess. But should we get into? Go ahead.
Speaking,
at the very end, they like. The literal last 30 seconds bring out Michelle and Katie.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot it because it was so short.
It was very short. And they didn't even explain it. They're like, they explained it in like half a sentence. They're like, they're both going to be bachelorettes in two different seasons. Good night, everybody. You know,
literally, like, it was like so, so quick. I'm like, maybe we could have cut some of the dead air and given this a little bit more room to breathe.
So I have a question. How do you think this changes The Bachelor? Because would you go on The Bachelor with no chance? Because if it's the next two Bachelorette seasons, okay,
mm-hmm.
You would assume a Bachelor season comes in between the two? Or are they just going to go Bachelorette, Bachelorette?
I think it's going to be Bachelorette, Bachelorette, Paradise, then in January again, The Bachelor.
I thought it was going to be Bachelorette, Paradise, Bachelorette. Bachelor.
Bachelorette, Paradise, well, Bachelorette.
They're filming The Bachelorette right after this summer. The second one. They're starting to film it this summer.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I guess because I was thinking, like, how long are they going to make Michelle wait? Like, if they're like, okay, we're going to start filming in a year, just make sure you stay completely single until then.
Yeah, no. I think they're filming Katie starting, like, now. They're getting ready to start. And then... they'll do Katie's season, then in the middle of Katie's season this summer, they'll start filming Michelle's. So then I don't think we're going to have a break like we usually do.
I mean, I think that's a big part of the reason like this all feels like it feels like we're at our like wick's end with like The Bachelor right now. Is like there wasn't the break. Like we went straight through. We went like Claire feels like 7 years ago, but also yesterday. Like Claire, you know,
it
like,
does.
And we went Claire, Tayshia, right into Matt. Now we're like, okay, do we run to, like, I don't know if it works that way. Like, I think I need a break. Don't you guys?
I'm a little tired. I need to catch up for a second. I just need to like, you know, have a little bit of peace before I get into another season of who knows what the fuck's gonna happen, just because every time it comes on some new bullshit appears.
And also, who's signing up for this show right now?
Yeah.
like what guy, like, you know, listen, Katie seems like a great woman. I like that she's like, you know, I think she's 30. Like I think that's I think that's a great age for The Bachelorette. Like you know, are there guys, like, is she going to get a bunch of 25-year-old dudes showing up? Like, who's she going to get at that house?
I know. I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I kept thinking of, like, you know, Michelle and Katie seem, like, really ready and, like, ready for, like, a good relationship. And you're like, what guy is going under these circumstances, like right now? Like, who's, again, we just talked about the roaring 20s coming. Like, guys, like, nah, I'm gonna go. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a.
Especially knowing that everybody's out to expose your past. Like, nobody's signing up for this thinking, oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Unless you're like real confident in your past.
Unless you've already deleted everything that you've ever done. Had your entire. Nobody's being like, yeah, this, I'll be fine. Let me just like fuck around. Yeah. Sign up.
It does feel like getting into politics. Like, I do think of this, like, who would sign up to be running for president? Who would sign up to run for office? And who would sign up to go on The Bachelor? Like, it doesn't, unless they, you know, ABC hires some sort of like CIA scrub team.
Yeah, truly.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, let's get into our weekly categories. Let's start with a would you rather. Chris, go for it.
Okay, I said, would you rather get sent home like Michelle did, or be the one he chooses, but there's no proposal?
Sent home. Mm. Sent home, no question.
Yeah, I think
you can't go sideways. It's not exciting.
Yeah, I think same.
Mine's sort of the same kind of a vibe, but would you rather get broken up with at the proposal and get no closure, or get broken up with in private? Get broken up at the proposal and get closure, or get broken up in private with no closure?
I would rather get broken up with at the proposal and get closure, I think.
I never know what closure even means.
Like, yeah, I don't know what it means either, but like, at least getting that 2 minutes, sure. Being like, why?
In private, just because I would be like, okay, now I can go home.
That's true, because like, people are like, I want closure, but even if someone completely explains to me, I'm like, okay, I don't get it. And they're like, I just told you I don't like you. I'm like, okay. Okay, but why?
But that doesn't make sense.
Or you're like, wow, you're the meanest person ever. Who would be that honest?
You know? Yeah, like, fair. That's also there. It's a lose-lose situation if you're trying to break up with me.
It really is.
Okay, Jared, what was yours?
Oh, deny Neil Lane or deny a woman looking for closure. That was my would you rather.
I feel like Neil Lane is a conversational wizard. I feel like I would end up being a salesman for him if I tried to talk to him.
I agree.
I don't want to talk to Neil Lane. I'll end up like getting a new credit card for Neil Lane Diamonds.
I agree with Chris. I'm on the same page.
Yeah, it can't be dodged.
All right. Villain of the week. Chris, you and I have the same answer. The producers. I feel like a lot of these things could have been avoided with like casting and choosing what to show, like this entire season in general. It all seems to be brought on by selfishness, but good TV, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah. I just put love was the villain of the week.
Like, you know what? True.
Nobody wanted to hang with love. Practicality was the hero here, where everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm going to hold off.
All right. Cringe Harrison Award. I'm going to say Chris Harrison's voiceover during After the Final Rose, as
oh
if
my God, I know.
Emmanuel was not there and we're still seeing Chris like give the previews and like the in-betweens
of it.
Also, Chris
introducing him. He's like, please welcome Emmanuel Acho. I was like, ooh, that must have stung.
It's like he was haunting the show.
Yeah, it was strange.
But also, I'm like, so he's still getting a paycheck for doing that. Like,
he's getting a paycheck until this thing goes off the air.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's no question.
I said Matt's beard. I can't with that shit. What the hell is that? You got to shape that shit up.
Well, his brother had the beard when the brother came over, and it kind of felt like it foreshadowed. Like it was like Matt looked at his brother, was like, "That looks pretty good on you. I think I could pull it off." I had Chris Harrison's advice to Matt of that's a lot to unpack. That's his advice. Imagine, his advice was that you, that's a lot of shit to take care of. Good luck.
It's like, yeah. Yes. So help me take care of it. What?
Yeah.
I don't understand. All right, Jared, do you have a minute for us?
I got less than a minute. And
Let's do it.
Here's the thing. This is the time of year. Anytime there's a finale, the people come out of the woodwork of who likes The Bachelor? I hate The Bachelor. I hate The Bachelor. It is the worst opinion. When I hate something, I either find a way to make fun of it creatively or I talk shit about it to the friends I talk shit with. If you're someone that just posts, I don't like The Bachelor because you hear people talking about it, that shows you have zero creativity or you don't have a friend to shit talk with, which makes me feel sad for you.
I know. Think about those people who don't have friends to shit talk with. I at
right?
least get to shit talk with you guys every Tuesday
exactly.
morning.
Yes. Like, exactly. Can you imagine how sad your life is to, who would watch this? Yeah, go talk to a friend about that. This isn't even a good post.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a lot to say. But yeah, so I guess this is our last Will You Accept This Rose of the season.
Yes. Mine goes to Emmanuel Acho. Like, I'm down to have him host more. Like, I'm excited for Tayshia and Caitlin. If you guys missed it, they're going to be tag teaming the next Bachelorette. I did love like Emmanuel, and I hope that they bring him back for more than just this. He gets my rose. He did a great job.
Yeah, I said us, the audience, because we got to the end of the season.
Us
I think
three
we all,
specifically.
I think we all deserve roses.
We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, Kay. Emmanuel was great. I think if they could fashion out like he's the final rose guy, like maybe that's it could be a good role. Like I just mm-hmm. like the way he came at stuff. So
definitely. So next week we are going to do a whole recap of awards from this season and, you know, hand out not just these like weekly categories, but an entire thing of entire section of categories for all of The Bachelor this season. So make sure you guys tune in next week. And we'll also give you a preview of what we think about the new Bachelorettes, what we think is going to happen. I know I'm not going to talk about it on here, but I know there have been like some spoilers for Katie's cast members already out, which is kind
really?
Of crazy. Yes.
Wow.
They came out last night on, I saw it on Twitter. I was like, man, you fuckers are quick.
Wow.
I mean, like, they haven't even announced The Bachelorette yet, and they're already releasing her cast members. So
crazy.
But after that, we'll have another episode, and then we are going to take a brief break just until the new Bachelorette season starts. So we have two more episodes. Next week is going to be the awards, and then the week after, just come back for that because it'll also be a good one. So make sure you guys are following us, rating, reviewing, subscribing. You guys heard at the beginning, share it on your stories. But you guys, until next week, bye.
Betches.